Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Colin!
5 p.m. hour, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, we got Damian Perez behind the glass. We're at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. We got you for 3 hours today because we got the fifth quarter coming up at 6 p.m., taking you up until the doubleheader tonight, Monday night football. So stay tuned for that. You got Broncos Bengals and you got some Jets Dolphins. You got a lot to look forward to on that front on top of the baseball tomorrow. If you missed any of the show, you can go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Just search up Russo and Rizzo, or you can watch us back YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. We are live there. You can see our pretty faces. On top of that, Mike Rizzo's alongside me, and one thing that Mike's been taking into a tune is understanding his health benefits. You know, he's eating right, but he's also, because of Men's Only Medical, kind of shining some light on some things that you want to adjust.
Absolutely. My good friend Doc Al over at Men's Only Medical. Folks, it's the concierge healthcare service. Doc Al is there for me when I need him. No more the days for Mike Rizzo of, oh, God, I got to schedule a doctor's appointment. I'm not going to be able to get in for a month. That's not the case with the concierge healthcare service over at Men's Only Medical. Now, for me, what I'm doing with Doc Al, I'm focusing, as Colin said, nutrition and weight management. I'm down 8 pounds already with my good friend Doc Al at Men's Only Medical, and that's because we're coming up with ways for me to lose weight, enhancing workouts, what I should be eating. You know, the big thing that I realized, too, is my blood type has a lot to do with what I should be eating. So Doc Al and I came up with a great nutrition plan for me to get back in shape, but it's plenty more. Men's Only Medical is plenty more than just that. I mean, hair loss solutions. Granted, if you're watching on the YouTube stream, I thankfully don't need that. But if you're struggling with hair loss, Doc Al's got you covered. Skin assessment. Now, Colin was there when they did my face. I got great skin, but the issue is a little dirty. I found that out, and I made the adjustments. I guarantee you, we go back to the skin assessment machine, Kyle. I'm going to be through the roof in cleanliness with my skin. But also, folks, expert cardiovascular health care, heart care. I mean, your ticker, one of the most important things in your body. Doc Al can manage all that, anti-aging. Go see him. What are you waiting for? Mensonlymedical.com. You can visit them at mensonlymedical.com, but stop by in person. They're right on North Dixie Highway. Doc Al's a local guy. He went to Cardinal Newman. He's actually going to the Monday Night Football game tonight, and we'll talk more about that Monday Night Football game when we game plan for greatness with Men's Only Medical later on in the show.
Let's bounce around a little bit. Let's do a little 5 and 5, presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking bank time.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Earn up to $700 per year with boost checking from Flagler Credit Union. Number one.
All right, Kyle, a story we briefly touched on with Good Karma Brands president Steve Politziner. Malik Nabers is going to be out for the year. The young star wide receiver suffered an ACL injury, which will sideline him throughout the rest of the year. Kyle, you hate to see things like this in the NFL.
Yeah, this is a tough loss for them offensively. Now, they didn't do a ton before that, and you can only imagine how it's going to turn now that they don't have him, because he does take the top off of defense. So now they're going to have to adjust a little bit. You know, offensively, they got a lot of glaring holes. They don't have a lot of playmakers to make Dart's life easier. The defense is going to have to show up pretty much week in and week out for them to stay competitive, for them to be competitive. And the Giants looking out from here, they got to make sure that, number one, Jackson Dart stays healthy, and number two, defense can keep up in these games, because you cannot, you know, bury your defense by turning the ball over left and right. You can play the punt game, field position game all you want. You cannot turn the ball over at will and give the opposing offense. And they're playing good teams coming up. They got the Eagles twice. I know they got the Saints next week. But the Giants need to figure out how they're going to escape games, because you're not going to target teams week in, week out and beat them straight up.
I hate to see, to answer my own question, I hate to see things like this. I was really looking forward to seeing Jackson Dart and Malik Nabers and kind of the connection they'd be able to make. No, if you're a blue blood New York Giant fan listening, you hope that that was, you know, going to be the sign of something special where those two hooking up all season long. So you hate to see it, but I like to see Jackson Dart and the way he played this past Sunday. Now, I'm with you and Steve, Colin. They might have to look in how to utilize that young man, maybe teach him how to slide. But I like the rushing touchdown he had. I thought he looked pretty solid enough through the air. Now, he's going to have to throw for more than 111 yards, but it was his first start. I really liked what I saw from Dart. It absolutely stinks that they're not going to be able to have a connection like that throughout the rest of the year.
Number two.
Sticking with the NFL, Colin, we talked a little bit about your Jags and Niners, but Brock Purdy injured again as well. It's kind of up in the air for next week. Reports came out today from Niner practice. Does this, with Brock Purdy being injured, does this change your opinion, number one, on the Niners and their outlook for the season? And is Brock Purdy starting to turn into an injury-prone labeled quarterback in the NFL?
I'd make the argument that he wasn't healthy yesterday. You know, he played fine. He actually played, you know, he had three turnovers. You know, he had a bad fumble the last drive of the game, and then he had two interceptions. Now, the two interceptions were tipped. So that's one thing. I know that partially goes on the quarterback, but I think there's context to what type of interception you're throwing. He threw for 300-plus yards against a pretty good defense in Jacksonville. The thing about Purdy is you can't deploy him when he's at 75%. And the Niners are almost better off playing somebody who's completely healthy rather than a quarterback who needs a lot of things to work around him in order for him to be successful. Instead of throwing him out there and saying, go figure it out, they might be better off just making sure the kid gets 100% healthy before they throw him back in there. I wouldn't necessarily... There's something to be said about him being injured and being available, but I think that's sort of just the Niners' curse. You know, that happened. Ricky Pearsall got hurt. Juwan Jennings got hurt. I mean, Nick Bosa, we lost him for the year last week. Purdy's hurt again. Like, this just happens in San Francisco. They have the injury bug of all injury bugs. And I think making sure that Purdy's healthy, but Purdy's also, you know, the situation around him is working. I think those are the two big things they got to look at from here on out.
So I'll answer the Niner one first. I think it kind of does change my outlook on him, because if he's not going to be available on 100% game by game, the Seahawks and the Rams, I think, have proved at this point that they're arguably the two top teams in the division. Now, is that a little unfair for the 3-1 Niners who lost yesterday's game by 5 and were in the game? Sure. But if they're not going to have their starting quarterback, I don't think that they're going to be able to be one of the top two teams. Answer my question about Purdy. Yeah, he is becoming to be injured prone. Guy got paid and he hasn't really been able to be on the field. So I think when it comes to the Niners, and with Colin on the luck thing, they aren't a lucky team when it comes to injuries, but it's about time Brock Purdy strings together a couple of games here for the 49ers and starts looking like the franchise quarterback that they paid him for. I understand you can't, to, you know, kind of predict injury and whatnot, but the Niners go as far as Purdy, I think, and he's going to have to be healthy this year.
Number three.
All right, third story. We haven't even touched on this game yet. It's the Colts and the Rams. Now, how about, I guess this is what, if a quarterback is struggling, Colin, maybe I got to do this with Joe Flacco. He's done. They might have to look towards the future. Matt Stafford threw for 375 and 3 touchdowns. After I kind of question a little bit if Stafford is going to be able to get back to the 375 and 3 touchdown form before the week. But this was one of the more, dare I say, fun games. We took the Rams to cover in our cover 5 picks, and thankfully they did. They even helped us out. But how about Indiana being in this game and scoring 10 points in the fourth quarter, really making the Rams sweat in this one? Obviously, Damian Perez sent the big fumble that
went through the end zone.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell had at in that game as well. So I think two things in this game. Number one, the Rams are probably the best team in that division. I probably would take them over the Seahawks at this point. And number two, Indiana Jones. Indianapolis might be legit.
They are legit.
They might be a team all
they
year.
The Rams were fortunate to win that game. Fortunate. After that, you know, they had the fumble, which, for those who didn't see, Adonai Mitchell, who is one of their second-year receivers out of Texas, had a, you know, a walk in the end zone, big touchdown to go take the lead, 17-13 early in the third quarter, and he dropped the ball, sort of bobbled it, and it went out the end zone, and it was a touchback on the other side. And that happened, and the last drive of the game, when they were tied at 20s, and they had a chance to take the lead and essentially end it, Jonathan Taylor Had a great run, 68, 70 yards to win it, and then it was called back by a holding penalty, not on an offensive lineman, on A.D. Mitchell. So an all-time bad game from that young player, the receiver out there, because he did cost them, you could make the argument, the game. And Puka Nacua, once again, was terrific, because that guy might be the best receiver in football, bar you know, all things in. But he is that good. But Indiana, Rams were fortunate to win this, because Indiana sort of shot themselves in the foot a number of times here.
Indiana Jones shot themselves in front. No, Indianapolis. Dame, AD, he addressed the team too, right?
Yes, he did address it, and Coach Stefanski was actually glad that he did instead of running from
Steichen,
it.
Steichen,
he did address the entire team. He apologized for not just the fumble as well as the holding, so good to see him own up to it.
It's a young player, man. It's tough sometimes. Now, the fumble, it cannot happen. I think we could all admit that cannot happen. But it's a young player who you think could, figure things out.
It was a great catch, too. I don't know if you saw the play.
It was a great play.
And it was an egregious holding penalty, too, on that Jonathan Taylor touchdown, which was called back. Cost him the game.
Yep.
Number four.
All right, going to college, Colin. What was the biggest storyline in college football? You had Oregon beating Penn State. You had even USC losing at Illinois. You had, obviously, Georgia losing to Alabama at home. A lot of the, quote-unquote, underdogs came up and won. Heck, we could even do Friday, Florida State losing to Virginia. What was this most surprising thing to you in college football over the weekend?
Surprising was probably Georgia losing at home the way they did. You know, they knocked on the door very rarely throughout the game. But in terms of another surprise, I'm surprised that Virginia and Florida State was a shootout. I would figure it would be a dogfight, but it ended up being a shootout in which Virginia had one of the coolest field storms you've ever seen on that Friday night in that building, because they got all the students lined up on a hill instead of actual seats. But Florida State, I mean, come on. If there is a moment where Florida State can bring everybody back down to reality, similar to what the Packers did over the weekend, there's your opportunity. And there's something to be said. Those in-conference opponents are always tricky. But if you're a top 10 team looking to take yourself seriously and looking to be known amongst the greats and having a big game next week, you cannot lose to Virginia and giving up 45 points on a Friday night in their building. You cannot allow that. That is unacceptable. Unacceptable from Mike Norvell and company. I don't care who they are. I don't care how it looked in the touchdown that was called back after the bobble out of the end zone. I don't care. Florida State should not allow that. And let's take a pause and about how great they are for a second. Jeez, I know they could deal with the loss and still be okay. Well, let's take a pause. I mean, because that was a bad, bad loss. Everybody in the building knew it was a trap game. Everybody in the building knew it was a trap game, look-ahead game, whatever you want to call it. And Florida State just fell right on their face.
And the reason I bring up foot, because that's the biggest surprising thing. Kyle was dead wrong on that game. And it's funny. I saw it. It was the first thing he told me. Dead wrong. God, I was dead wrong. 200 yards. They gave up over 200 yards on the ground to Virginia. 46 points. Damian Perez and I, we did Saturday tailgate. The main thing I led with, you know, Kyle, I tell you, no, we're two peas in a pod, brother. First thing I looked at Dame, I said, they gave up 46 points to Virginia. I don't care. Game could have been played on the moon. You cannot give up 46 points to a team like Virginia.
Yeah, now, it's ridiculous.
Here's the thing, too. They set themselves up for a trap because Virginia plays nobody outside of at Louisville. Like, they could easily go undefeated in the ACC and end up in the ACC championship with the way games this thing is set up.
Well,
remember,
they have a loss to NC State. So they have a loss.
But it didn't count as a conference game.
Oh, yeah, because that was a schedule.
That's the stupidity-ness of it. Here's
the thing. You could say the same thing about
the dumbness of that game.
You could say the same thing about, like, how Georgia Tech handled it. They're going to find a game to drop because that's what these teams do. Yeah. I mean, when teams who are not the best at what they do in the country year in and year out, Florida State is a good example. You're going to have an opportunity to kind of blow it. And I can't see Virginia going, 11-1. But let's move on. Number five.
Number five.
Now, Jonathan Zazo is joining the show here in just a second. I was watching the Dan Lebatard show this morning, and I saw Zaz doing Pilates with some college students. So we're going to have to ask Jonathan Zazo, the voice of the 305. He didn't have a mat. He didn't have a towel. He was just on the grass doing Pilates with college students. So we'll have to ask the voice of the 305.
I didn't see this video. I'll watch this video and break, and we'll ask Zaz about it as we loop him in on the other side of things. Jonathan Zazo, the Zazo Show 2.0, coming to us on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Damian Perez keeping us on the air at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Let's have some fun here. Let's loop in good friend of program. You can hear him on the Zazo Show 2.0. He's the voice of the 305, Mr. Jonathan Zazo.
You might know him as the Cooper City Rattlesnake. He's the human flamethrower of Miami sports radio.
You could be a maniac without being a jerk.
The preacher of the Pat Riley gospel.
They don't complain. They don't make excuses. This is the NBA. Deal with it.
The mayor of Dolphins delusion.
The Dolphins are amazing. Are they the best team in the NFL?
And the only guy who can go from breaking down the Panthers' power play to cutting a full-blown Ric Flair promo.
Woo!
Jonathan Zaslow is the voice of the 305.
Well, Mr. Zaslow, welcome in, my friend. How you doing today? What's going on?
I'm doing all right. I'm, you know, we got a lousy football team we're going to watch tonight, but it's Monday Night Football. It's my team, so I'm into it. I'm excited for tonight.
Are you anticipating a win? Let's get this out of the way.
I do think they're going to win tonight. Yeah, I do. I mean, it could be ugly, you know, but I
they've won nine straight at Hard Rock against the Jets, so they do play well against them.
Jets stink. Another winless team. I do think the Dolphins win tonight. Yeah.
All right, and from here. Let's circle around a little bit because I saw the video. I want to lead with this because Mike alluded to it before
What'd
we got the
see?
Break.
What did you say?
We saw the video of you doing Pilates on Athens
yes.
campus.
That's right.
So if we could catch you on the Dan Lebertard show on Twitter. But so when you're at the college football tailgate, which is what you do with the ESPN radio throughout the week, you go to different places. You were in Athens, Georgia for Alabama, Georgia. And I guess you found a free 20 minutes and you decided to jump in on one of the camps. And I see this. You know, I was like, remember college campuses? They always have this stuff. Yoga.
Oh,
they
yeah.
got the stuff going on.
They got it here at City Place on Saturdays when I'm doing my Saturday morning show.
All day. And you decided to hop in on one of the student-ran Pilates sessions?
Well, I don't know who was running it, but on the big screen
Zaz,
there,
it's
because
a student, it's a campus of college students. It's probably
no,
college
but, well,
students.
Okay, so we're in the quad, right? Myers Quad there on University of Georgia's campus, and that's where SEC Nation is set up. So you got the SEC Nation set, and you got Feinbaum there, also on another set right next to it, doing his radio show. And on the big Jumbotron screen there, it says SEC Nation Pilates, and so you have like. I don't know. It was probably like 50 participants. I would say 48 of the 50 were female. Okay, we got like 50 participants doing their Pilates, and you know, we got done doing our thing with Feinbaum. And hey, if I see people are doing Pilates, I gotta get my stretch on. All right, so I joined the crew there. And I did some Pilates. Why not, right?
Zaz, where's the towel? Where's the mat? Zaz, you were ill-prepared.
Well, I didn't know that I was going to be doing Pilates, but that's okay. I got no problem raw dogging the Pilates. And that's how we did it. I just jumped right in.
So you're telling me you've done Pilates before, Zaz?
No,
before
I mean,
that.
Did you see that form? I definitely looked terrible. It was very painful, too.
Yes,
that is no joke, this Pilates.
I cannot do it. They got a club, as I said, down here in West Palm Beach, City Place, and also at my apartment. I get emails about me showing up. I am not sure. I am not flexible.
It's serious business.
Zaz, I can't touch my toes.
I was
not flexible.
Feeling that burn, guys. That's no joke right there. So, yes, I jumped in. I did a little Pilates. You know, why not? Let's get a little stretching going.
And, Zaz, you were at Athens for Georgia against Alabama. Did you stay for the game?
Yeah. Great atmosphere. It was a really great game. I thought Alabama would win. I think Alabama is better than most people think they are. Maybe now, you know, they believe that they're really good again. And I think also it's painfully obvious now that that week one loss at Florida State was not about Alabama not being good. It was inexplicably a completely woefully unprepared team. And that's certainly not a good thing. To be unprepared the first game of the season when the coach was kind of under fire the way his first year ended. So it's not a good thing that they came out unprepared, but I think you'd rather the case be you were unprepared week one than you're a bad team. So I think that's clearly what happened against FSU. And by the way, FSU, of course, losing to Virginia on Friday night.
Oh.
FSU loves Alabama winning that game at Georgia. So that was a very good look for FSU as well.
Zez, 46 points. The Noles let UVA just walk all over that defense. 46 points.
Yeah.
Now, they forced three interceptions. But the issue is that the quarterback also threw, or rather ran for three touchdowns and threw for two. Zez, did you watch it? We were at high school football bar. What in the hell happened?
Yeah, I was actually watching from a bar in Athens. We hit up downtown Athens, you know. We were having a good time. Had the game on there, FSU and Virginia. And, yeah, I mean, I don't like to go the route of it was a trap game. They were looking ahead. Who the heck knows? I mean, whatever, you know?
Well, I mean, based on how the game came out, it definitely seemed like that wasn't the biggest focused game they've ever had, right?
I mean, they didn't get killed. You know, they did score 38 points of their own, and it's weird because their defense has been very good this year, and to give up 46 there at Virginia, it is kind of odd. It's a bummer, though, because—
It hurts the game.
You know, this coming weekend, the Canes fan, you hate FSU, but you wanted FSU to be undefeated because you want to be the one to tag them with their first loss of the season. And I could tell you, I could confirm to you, game day was going to Tally, all right? Game day was going to be in Tally, and instead they call an audible, they're going to Tuscaloosa for Vandy, Alabama.
So, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It's because of that one loss.
I mean, yeah, like it's, you know, FSU, it was going to be undefeated versus undefeated, number 3 versus number 18
yeah.
It ends up being, but instead, you know, Alabama, number 10, and what's Vanderbilt now in the rankings? So it's number 10
Yeah, Vanderbilt, I think 15,
yeah.
Something like that.
16, yeah. 16 yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great game. Diego Pavia might be the
Absolutely.
Best quarterback in the SEC.
Absolutely. I'm just shocked that they made, you know. Your thoughts heading into the game for the Canes, Zez? What are you confidence level?
Yeah.
Where are you at heading into the rivalry game?
No, I certainly feel good about it. But I think it's gonna be a close game. You know, it's on the road in Tally. We saw UF, who the Canes are certainly a lot better than. UF for the most part put up a good fight. It is an elite defense the Gators have, but FSU and coming off a loss.
Yeah, they're going to be motivated. They don't want to drop that second game in a row.
Right. So I think this is a very tough game for the Hurricanes, but obviously, like, no excuse. Canes have to go in there and win this game. Do you see what the early line on the game is? I haven't even checked. I wonder what it is because I don't know if the Canes are going to not be favored in any game the rest of the way. So
I mean, for that perspective, Mike's looking at it right now for the actual line. I'd guess that it's close to a pick 'em.
I would assume UM maybe -2.
Yeah, -1.5, I would say. Yeah.
It is UM favored by 4.5, Zaz,
wow.
With our good friends at Hard Rock Bet.
4.5. Ooh. I would take FSU there. I would.
I would too.
I mean, if I just told you I think it should be UM -2, I guess I would take FSU as well.
A little more, guys. -4.5 for Miami, over under 54.5. And FSU and Zaz, this is with all due respect, +160 Florida State. That's actually really good odds on the money line at home, too.
Yeah.
There's something about the recovery week, you know, that now they have an extra day. Now, I think Florida State's a little overrated. I think that Alabama game, I think you hit the nail right on the head, and I think it was a game where they just sort of caught Alabama. Alabama was probably expecting the 0-11 FSU, not a nationally ranked FSU, and they just sort of got, you know, they got punched in the mouth, and that's sort of what happened.
No excuse, but it's better than being a bad team.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think Florida State, I think they need to do a little soul searching because you're not going to coast and win these games. You know, you're not good enough to be able to do that. And that's where I think that they maybe got a little wrong here. You can't walk into an in-conference opponent on the road, especially on a Friday night, a team who's probably a little underrated than Virginia, and expect to just kind of coast your way to victory. That's exactly what they were expecting.
This weekend's going to be, it's really going to be a lot of fun because, like I said, if the Canes get through Tally at 5-0, man, like it's so on for the Canes the rest of this. They really should get to the ACC championship game undefeated if they get through this weekend.
And the line of scrimmage battle, Zez, Florida State loves to run the ball, but Miami's defensive line, I think, has been one of the better units in the country, especially the interior line and the linebackers. I don't expect Florida State to be able to do whatever the hell they wanted on the ground like they did. I know they lost the game, but they were averaging like 8 yards a carry against Virginia. You know, they were averaging a good click against Alabama, too. I really think we're going to see a good game. I'm I cannot believe game day is not going to be there. I'm a little sad about that, Zaz, honestly. I thought, even though Florida State blew that game, I thought that game, I'd much rather watch that game than Alabama and Vanderbilt, honest opinion.
You got Pavia, who's a great story. Vanderbilt is a great story. You got the situation last year, and you have built-in storyline with Kalen DeBoer coming off of his biggest win as coach of Alabama. So
I think they also needed to, you know, make light of the fact that they were at Miami 2 weeks ago.
And yeah,
it needs to be a perfect situation for us to go right back to them.
It's at Florida State, but I understand.
You know
what?
Maybe if they weren't in Miami last weekend, they would go to Tally.
I agree with that. Yeah. I would say that's the truth.
I just see that Bama team dismantling Vanderbilt, especially after what happened last year,
This is exactly what happened last year. They played Georgia.
They played them the very next week, and then they lost.
But it was in Vanderbilt. Yeah, you get what I'm saying.
It's not like Vanderbilt's in Tuscaloosa.
I understand,
but it's not some big time home environment they got over there in Vanderbilt. But I understand what your complaint there. Jonathan Zaslow joining us now on ESPN 106.3. Zaslow, let's shift over to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, two things I want to ask you about. We'll start with Sunday Night Football. The Packers and the Cowboys were sort of in a shootout that, you know, I hate when they go to the end of the game. It's 12:30 at night Eastern time, and they just shake hands and say, hey, that was fun. It doesn't really make a difference to anybody whether we played this game or not, but walked away. Are you calling panic in any sense on what the Packers have been doing the last 2 weeks?
I'll tell you something. There's one person who is feeling pretty good about their thoughts on the Packers. It's this guy right here. Because I said the whole offseason, I am not in on the Packers. I am not in on Jordan Love. And I was looking like a dope after Green Bay's performance week one against Detroit. You know, you fast forward a little bit, and it's a Packer team that lost the Browns and a Packer team that tied the Cowboys, all right? So, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better about my doubts about the Packers. I will tell you, though, I went to sleep last night. I had a really early morning yesterday getting out of Athens because it's a pain in the butt. You got to drive from Athens to the Atlanta airport. That's 90 minutes, and I had a very early flight. So I was very tired by the end of the night last night. I fell asleep with like 4 minutes left in the game. I think it was a three-point game. I wake up this morning, 6:15 a.m. First thing I do, I check my phone. I want to see what happened in the game last night, and it says 40-40. My first thought was, hold on, this game's still going on? I was so confused. And then I see it says final overtime. I was like, they got ties. So unfulfilling. You watch that whole game and it's a 40-40 tie. And by the way, the clock management from Green Bay at the end of that overtime.
Miserable.
What are you doing?
Mention it to Colin. They're lucky they got a field goal off, Seth.
They're very lucky.
They're lucky Jordan Love threw that ball with 2 seconds left, and it hit the ground in the back of the end zone. But Zaz, I told Colin, I'm with you on Green Bay, brother. I said they got to give their preseason Lombardi back.
Yeah,
they got the preseason Lombardi that all the national pundits were. Oh, the Cowboys are idiots. You know, they are idiots for that trade. Two first round picks.
But you're talking about Micah Parsons like he's Reggie White.
Correct,
give me a break.
Correct. He's not even the best pass rusher in the league. He did make the biggest play of the game last night, though, Zaz. We agree. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott scores that touchdown. But he was quiet.
I mean, if you want to knock Micah Parsons, he's a two-time first-team All-Pro. He's been 4 years in the NFL, and they gave up a 25th overall, a 27th overall, and Kenny Clark, who did a whole lot of nothing yesterday in the trade. I can't listen
to just need to slow down on the Jordan Love.
Yeah,
Love.
Thank God. Dude, Zaz and I, we're on the same wavelength.
Did we realize they scored? I understand. Love, question mark. But he did score 40 points yesterday. That was not a Jordan Love game problem. Jordan Love game problem was last week.
I mean, we're acting like this team is 4-0. They won two of their first four games.
Correct.
Not that great.
I agree. I think a lot of problems there, but I don't think there's as much panic as maybe you guys are alluding
to.
Not
panicking. We crowned them after 2 weeks. Come on.
And some crowned them before we even snapped the ball.
Yep.
All right. That was my issue.
The thing is, it has nothing to do with the Parsons trade because the Cowboys made a terrible trade.
No, they didn't. Two first-round picks, mate.
Two first-round picks.
They go get anyone they want.
We'd be lucky if one of them would get a second contract.
They could go get anyone they want in that draft next year, guys.
When they get selection overall number 26, we're going to see. And I don't know.
Maybe in the teens, the way they're playing. Maybe in the mid-teens.
Zaz, where can people tune into you more if they want to listen to some more?
Yeah, Zaslow Show 2.0, wherever you get your podcasts. everything Miami, everything South Florida sports. Just put in wherever you get your podcast, Zaslow Show 2.0. And if you like, you rate, you comment. That's great for the algorithm. I don't know how the algorithm works, but it gets me the monies. So do all that good stuff. And every episode is presented by Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733.
Yeah, Zaz, I'm going to see if the GM, our GM, Stephanie Prince, if we could get you a Pilates mat for the in the budget.
Okay.
I'm going to see. I can't have you on the grass,
get
brother.
Get my stretch on. I'm into it.
I got to see if we could get you a mat. But
oh, my thighs, they were burning.
Are you going to Tuscaloosa, by the way? I mean, not Tuscaloosa. Are you going to Tallahassee?
Oh, we tried to change where we were going to Tallahassee this weekend, but we couldn't just because hotel availability, that kind of deal is too late. And you guys are going to make fun, but it is what it is. We're going to Chapel Hill. We're going to Chapel Hill for Clemson, North Carolina.
Oh, my God. What a godforsaken game.
Before the season, it felt like a fun game to go to. ACC champion Belichick.
Oh, my God.
We got to pivot. Who do I got to call?
Zest. Terrible.
Who do we have to call? We'll
There's
call him
no
on the
one
air.
To call. We'll I'm call, going to Chapel right Hill. Ludacris is doing a concert on campus Luda. Saturday morning. I'm going to see Luda.
Stand
oh
up.
Oh, my God. What a terrible, Stand terrible up. Game. Unbelievable. That's a tough
Hang
spot.
Hang on, Zez. When I move, you move. Just like that.
Did you not watch the first week and say, all right, we need to change week 5?
Oh, God.
some serious doubt creeped in at that point. Yes.
Zez, we got to call it. We got to call the powers to be. We got to call the powers to
right
be.
After that game, after the second quarter of that game, I would be like, all right, we need to change
this. Look, I'm sure it's – I hear Chapel Hill. I hear it's a beautiful campus. I'm looking forward to going.
Yeah, we're going to call Brett. I'm going to change his GPS. Brett's not even going to know. He's
already there.
He's going to drive.
Brett's already there yesterday.
Well, guess what? The itinerary changed. You got to go to Tallahassee.
Wow. It's a beautiful state. I'm looking forward to it.
That's Brett, the driver of the ESPN College Football campus
the
tour.
The Airstream studio.
The Airstream mobile studio.
Context.
He is the driver.
Context.
That's right.
Zaz, we appreciate it. As always, looking forward to talking again soon.
All right, guys. Great job. See ya.
Thanks,
that's Jonathan Zaslow, of course, the Zaslow Show 2.0. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. If you missed any of that interview, you want to listen back, go listen on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Just go to Russo and Rizzo. ESPN South Florida app, it's available. It's up. And go get started now. Go download the App Store. Free to download. You can catch us, me and Mike, theoretically speaking, all the Inter-Miami, English, and Spanish. Catch it all in one spot on the ESPN South Florida app. We'll do a little game plan for greatness as we send you off into continued action. We got you up till 7 p.m. today on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez, it's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. We got two Monday Night Football games tonight. Let's figure out how each of these teams are going to win or lose that matchup. Let's game plan for greatness with Men's Only Medical.
Men, games aren't won on Friday night. They're won Monday through Thursday.
You find out life's a game of inches.
It's about preparation. It's about discipline. And it's about showing up ready to dominate.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing.
And now, your game plan for greatness. Brought to you by Men's Only Medical. Visit mensonlymedical.com.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go play some football. Let's go, baby.
All right, folks, time to game plan for greatness for the good friends over at Men's Only Medical. My guy, Doc Allman. By the way, going to be on site tonight at Hard Rock Stadium to cheer on his Dolphins. We got to come up with a game plan to see how his Dolphins can win. And obviously the other game, too, you got the Broncos and the Bengals. I think we know how that's going to go. But, Kyle, Men's Only Medical, concierge healthcare service. You know, I told you, Doc Al, he's one of those guys who's a local guy. Newman grad. Went to Miami, huge Miami sports fan, but hair loss solutions, skin assessment, expert cardiovascular healthcare, weight management, nutrition. It's all with Doc Al. I'm focusing on my weight management and nutrition, and I'm down 8 pounds in just a couple of weeks. Go see my guy, Doc Al, at Men's Only Medical. All right, I mentioned Doc Al's going to the Dolphin game, Kyle, so I want to come up with a game plan. I'm going to do two things here. Number one, for the Dolphins to win, Tua's going to have to play like the Tua we saw, 2 years ago? The Tua that would throw for 3 touchdowns, 300 yards, and not have interceptions. It's going to be hard against the Jet defense. Believe it or not, I actually really like the Jets defense. And then number two, I'm going to go with neutralize Breece Hall. Breece Hall has been a solid back all year. I feel like for the last 2 years, Breece Hall has been one of those running backs that's kind of been low-key tearing through the NFL. Neutralize the run of New York if you're Miami, and you got to find a way to get to on track on Monday Night Football and get those receivers involved early. That's my game plan for greatness for the Miami Dolphins to pick up their first win tonight.
You got Justin Fields healthy again. You know that rushing attack is just going to be relentless. They're sort of been flirting with getting a win on the docket for them. Now, Miami's got, you know, 11 days off in between games. They had a Thursday to a Monday game. They're back at home. They've won 9 straight against the Jets in Hard Rock Stadium. I actually think this game is going to be in favor of the Jets. I think there's something to the fact that the Miami does have a lot more to lose, because if Miami loses this game, there are implications in terms of the outlook of the season comparatively to the Jets. The Jets can probably lose this game. You won't like it. But they got a new coach in there, new general manager. They got a lot of new that they're just looking for moral and spiritual victories comparatively to actual win column. It's different for the Dolphins. But if I'm the Jets here, I think that they want to, you know, you got to activate some of the passing game. They got to find a good mix of what Justin Fields' offense was in rushing the football versus what Tyrod Taylor was able to do passing the football. If they could find an in-between of that, get Garrett Wilson involved, get some of their offensive pieces involved, let their defense don't necessarily pin it all on them. I think this game is going to go in favor of the Jets, but I see this being a tight back-and-forth affair. We'll see. Obviously, the Dolphins have a lot of time off. Maybe they come out a little flat. That would be my perception, but that's for the first game.
And quickly, Tyreek Hill and Jalen
Waddle
looked great against the Bills. Third down, they were fantastic. Waddle picked up every third down in that fourth quarter, it seemed. Get that back in action. Now, Kyle, game number two, you have the Broncos and the Bengals. I think it's all about the Broncos here for me personally. They got
to
win this game.
Just get to the quarterback.
Get to the quarterback. And also, like, I think Surtain and Chase, that matchup, Kyle, is going to be interesting. That goes all the way back to college when Surtain was with Alabama and Chase was with LSU. And you need a good game out of Bo Nix. That's probably my game plan for greatness for the Broncos.
Take steps forward passing-wise and get to Browning. If you get to Browning like Minnesota was able to, you're probably going to turn them over. But if you give him time to operate, they have playmakers that can hurt you. So we'll see what happens then. Now, Pat Surtain is the great Jamar Chase, you know, equalizer. So we'll see if he's able to continue that. But two games tonight on the Monday Night Football side of things as we close out our Men's Only Medical Game Plan for Greatness. Stick around because we got the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. Coming up on the other side of things, we'll get you prepared. We'll go through the full weekend of sports, go through some of the best bets. We got a lot more to do. Stick around up till 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 106.3.